WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshall guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going to be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to Monday Night Talk, the South Shore's favorite magazine program. I just made that up, Ben. Ben is actually my producer tonight. They have actually taken the training wheels off. And Ben is going... This is his first solo flight as the producer of Monday Night Talk. So make sure you say a couple of prayers for Ben, as hopefully this will be a long stay for him serving in such a capacity. Although I did kind of give him a little bit of guff before the show because I'm a guy who loves hockey, and he was wearing a Vegas Golden Knights sweatshirt, but he had a plausible excuse. And I also said to him, because he sounds like, and he's showing me a tattoo, because he also sounds like, you've heard Ben, I think, was on a comedy show. There was a show that was on Tuesday nights. He was a part of it. It was like a skit show. And he also he teams up with Brendan Connolly from time to time. I actually tried to get Brendan on the show this evening, but I was not fortunate. But Ben usually will weigh in from time to time on the Sports Exchange with Bill Wilhelm, who is one of our great sports guys here at WATD. Ben, did you want to chime in?
I did. Thank you very much for the shout out. You're absolutely right. You can find me on the Sports Exchange. I've been hanging around the station for a little while, so it's nice to get on the show with you.
Yes. Well, every now and then when there's a cobweb, we know there's a spider somewhere, so beware, okay? I will say this, as we're looking forward to having you here and being a part of the program. We got a great show for you this evening. We'll start things off with Brockton City Councilor Gene Bradley Durancourt. It was supposed to be John Creed, but John right now he's a little bit under the weather. And so what we did is we said, okay, John, we'll have you back on, because I was going to have John on and talk a little bit about the State of the Union, Donald Trump, President Trump giving his State of the Union. And then, of course, we saw Congressman Joe Kennedy III give the Democratic counter. So we're going to get his take on that, and we're also going to talk to him about the governor's State of the State and releasing the budget. But we're going to wait for that. That'll be something we'll do later on. But Gene Bradley Durancourt actually was, he's the first Haitian to be elected to office in the city of Brockton. He actually told me as we were talking on the phone, setting up the interview, that he, in fact, is the first Haitian American to be elected in the state. So he will be, he'll be following traffic in just a moment, as he'll talk with us about being a guest of U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren's attending the State of the Union. Then we have Keith Hayes. You might recognize that name, a story that we did on Friday. You'll hear Christine James's voice, because it was on during her newscasts on Friday morning. We're going to get Mr. Hayes' take on, the Super Bowl. Everybody's got the hangover because the Patriots lost. We'll talk with Keith. And we got Kerry Byrne from Cold Hot Football Facts and Jerry Thornton. It's like a 1-2 punch in the local sports arena. I'll talk with them about the New England Patriots. Both of these guys write for national platforms, and we'll get their take on it. And then we get the members. We're going to re-air a segment that we did a couple of weeks ago. Members of the band Wanted, DOA, with Rich Figueredo and Peter Tintindo, You'll get a chance to hear that interview as we re-air this.
Over the past 25 years, Brennan's has had many local employees that have helped make our family business successful on the South Shore and South Coast. Today, we've amassed a list of 25 of the best local tobacconists any smoke shop owner would be proud to have. But you can't have them because they work for Brennan's Smoke Shop. We're the best. These employees have made Brennan's Smoke Shop very successful. So this special radio ad goes out to Leo, Shane, Chris, Hannah, Bobby Joe, Mike M, Jen, Shay, Colleen, Kristen, Jessica, Courtney, Mary, Denise, Rachel K, Angela, Rachel B, Justin, Jesse, Chrissy, Katrina, Sarah, and of course, my lovely wife, Mallory. Would you all be my Valentines this year? Because I love you. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the sweetest smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must have a valid state or federal ID to enter the store. Visit us on the web or like us on Facebook.
Well, I got news for you. You can't have them.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And joining us right now, this is his first time joining us here on the program. Hopefully the first of many. He is a newly elected, newly sworn in Brockton City Councilor who is who's going to kind of chat with us about the whole process as to getting elected. And he actually, just this past week, was a guest of U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren as he was front row for the State of the Union. And we'll kind of get his take on the State of the Union. We have Jean Bradley Drennancourt joining us here on Monday Night Talk. Sir, welcome to the program.
Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I would say to you first is welcome to Monday Night Talk. Talk to us about what is it like? You have a story to tell. Many people you've had a chance to speak to the media from all over the state, and you had a chance to be down in D.C. Talk to me. Tell your story.
I mean, so I just want to thank you personally for giving me the opportunity to be part of this radio show. So I would like to thank everybody who's listening, and on behalf of our great state of Massachusetts. So what I can tell you is that for those of you who don't know me, although Kevin would mention my name, but I know the last name can be very tough to pronounce. It is Jean Bradley Drennancourt. I am 27 years old, and I moved to the state a little bit of 7 years ago. I'm Haitian American. And I came in this country, as you know, Kevin, after the earthquake. And unfortunately, when I first moved to the state, I was unable to speak English, but I had a sister who was very into education. She took me to the Brockton Public Library, where I started learning English in a program called ESL, English as a Second Language. And from there, I got my GED, through a program called Training Resources of America, because I was unable to finish school in Haiti, given the fact that I came here in May, in December, and school was about to be over in May 2011, 2011 in Haiti. So when I first came, it was kind of like very tough, given the fact that it's a new country, not knowing anybody but your family, to learn the language and stuff like that. So I did pretty well, and I went to college. As you know, I went to Massasoit, graduated. I went to Suffolk University, graduated. But what I can tell you is that I could not be more happy than having the opportunity of living in Massachusetts, because Massachusetts has opened the door for me, especially a city like Brockton. So politics has been part of me ever since I moved in this country, given the fact that so many people opened the door for me, they talked to me, they encouraged me. And when I was in college, I got involved in student government. And by the time you know it, I was actually the student trustee for Massasoit Community College. And I had an opportunity to intern for the former mayor of Brockton, the former governor of Massachusetts. I work in the House and work in the Senate. So it's been wonderful. And fortunately, in 2014, I was able to get a job at Raise Up Massachusetts to work on Question 4. And as you know, in 2014, Question 4 became a victory, and we were able to give every worker in Massachusetts the opportunity to earn sick time. So it's been wonderful. I could not be more happy than being in this country. So I love this country more than you can imagine. That's why I became a U.S. citizen. I studied the test took the exam, passed and all of that. And fortunately, in 2016, I got my citizenship. So I'm happy. Like I said, I'm living the American dream, and I could not be more happy than having the opportunity to be in Brockton, Massachusetts.
What made you run for office, though? What was the first thing? And you didn't just run for school committee or for ward counselor. What you had to do was the equivalent of running for mayor, because you had to seek enough votes from around the city instead of a part of the city.
Yeah. I mean, how do I put this? You know, I'm the kind of person who wants to be able to chat with everybody. Mm-hmm. And, of course, most people said at the beginning, why not school committee? Why not ward council? But the way I see it is that, that's what I like about this country. So we have a very democratic system, whether you are Republican or Democrat or independent. And what I did was that I sat down, I spoke with my family, and I explained to them why I want to do this. And when I take a look at Brockton, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it as a whole, because I did not want to take a part of Brockton just to focus on it. And I said, I'm going to run at large and see what happened. And fortunately, as you know, November 7th, 2017, I become the first Haitian American, not only elected official in Massachusetts, in Brockton, but also in the entire state in terms of mail. So running at large was the best thing for me, because I was able to empathize, I was able to communicate, I was able to, to chat with anybody at any given time throughout the city. Other than that, I would have to focus in one block and stuff like that. So I believe in order for me to do a quality service to Brockton, I got to be able to talk to everybody. And of course, as you know, Brockton is huge, but I did not want to bound myself in the sense of just focusing one block. Why not the entire place? And most people think it was a crazy move, given the fact that nobody knew who I was and I'm young and stuff like that. But you know what? What I like about the American people, what I like about the people in Brockton, they opened the door for me, and they give me a chance to represent them. And fortunately, I won.
And it's interesting, because yourself and you have somebody else who's young, in Jack Lally. But Jack Lally was successful in getting his second term. What's it like to know that you guys are the future of the city of Brockton, and will be keeping that mindset when it comes to making key decisions for the next 2 years?
I mean, what's important is that it's not really your age or where you come from, right, or what you believe in. I think what's important is it's the issues that we are facing in Brockton. Let's talk about public safety, which is like one of the biggest topics in Brockton. Let's talk about youth empowerment. Let's talk about education. Let's talk about seniors. I mean, I think these are the issues that I always excited to talk about, because you cannot talk about public safety without talking about education. So education should be the basic foundation of everything that we are trying to do in Brockton, given the fact that we have a very diverse population. Although Brockton has always been diverse, Brockton has always been diverse, because yes, back then you have the Irish, you have the Italian, but as we speak, you have a different kind of diversity. You have the Cape Verdean, you have the Haitian, you have the Latino and stuff like that. So I think we gotta be able as a city to embrace those people and give them a reason to believe that you shouldn't just live in Brockton, but you gotta be part of it. Let invest in education, let invest in public safety, let invest in youth. Let's invest in youth empowerment. So how do we empower our young people to do better and go further? So I think this is something that I can empathize with them, given my age and stuff like that. So I said it to you, I don't care whether you were born in this country or you were born in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. What I care about is that what you choose to do, as long as you are following the law, you are applying the rules, you don't kill anybody, so I'm okay with you. So my view is that is to do anything that I could possibly do in a positive way to move Brockton to the next level. And as you know, we've been putting Brockton on a positive signs when it comes down to politics in the city ever since we jumped in the race. And I think it's important for people to understand that we don't just come here to take over stuff. We come here to give back. I could have said, graduated from college, I'm moving out of Brockton. I chose not to do that. I went back to Brockton, I live in the city, and I dedicated myself, given my time, to run for public office because I want Brockton to go further and do better. So I think that's a goal. And you said it. Most people said, you're young and stuff like that, but I think people shouldn't focus on my age. They should focus on what I hope to do and how I'm going to do it. I think that should be the basic foundation of it. Of course, people will claim that I speak with an accent. I was born in the foreign country and stuff like that, but I am an American like everybody. I carry the American flag. I'm ready to fight for this country and die for this country. So we should forget about those, you know, nonsense talking about the negativity of what we can do as a country, as a state, as a city, and focus on the issues.
Well,
like I said, let's talk about... Go ahead.
That's an interesting segue because we are in a... Right now, our country, it's in the state of turmoil, political turmoil. And I know that you had a front row seat. You were actually invited by U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren to be her guest down in the nation's capital, front row for our president's State of the Union speech. Talk to us about that invite, how that came to be, and give your thoughts on the State of the Union as it was put forth by Donald Trump.
I mean, how do I put this? Again, like I said, you know, this is a great country. And what I like about this country is that the American people are so awesome. They are willing to open the door for anybody who's willing to follow through. Let's face it. 7 years ago, I was in Haiti. 7 years later, you know, I got a call from one of the most powerful women in our country, believe it or not, asking me to be her guest at the State of the Union. I don't think she called me because she knows that I'm smart, or she called me because she knows that I'm Haitian, or she called me because she knows that I'm an elected official. I think she called me because she can see that I'm a young kid trying to do something positive. I think she called me to show that she's willing to give a seat to anybody who's willing to have it. I said it many times. So what's so kind of crazy is that given what the president had said about Haiti, what I would like folks to understand is that in 1943, the Haitian government gave $1 million to America during World War II. So most people don't talk about stuff like that because Haiti has been fighting for this country for so long. If you think about 1779, we fought in this country. We fought so well, and people actually understand the complexity of the relationship between these two countries. And in 1950 till 1934, the U.S. invaded Haiti and took over until, like I said, 1934. So in order for us to understand the complexity of the poverty in Haiti, in order for us to understand the situation that is going on down there, we got to take a look at history. And my comment was that I would like the president to actually ask someone who actually knows history to taught him something. Otherwise, he will always make fool of himself and treat those foreigners people who are not come from Norway as poor, because that's what he said. So my focus was that, according to what Elizabeth Warren, you know, according to the Elizabeth Warren invitation, was to give me an opportunity to actually see the president face to face, to observe his moment and listen to him and see what happened. And I had a conversation with Ted Cruz, and I said, you know, Senator, I would like you to give a different look in immigration, and he walked away. So for me, is that the greatness of America is not really where you come from or what you believe in. The greatness of America is our desire to come together, work together for the benefit of our country. And I said it to you. I carry the American flag. Mm. I am a U.S. citizen. I have a U.S. passport. So the same right that you have, it is the same right that I have. The only difference is that I was born in a foreign land, but we are all people. And I came in this country. What I did, I learned the language. I went to college. I got a job, and I'm doing my best. I think this is the American ideal. This is the American values. This is the American, you know, this is the American dream. So for me, it was great. It was a great opportunity to be in Washington, D.C. and see all those powerful people and actually take a look at them, and they can take a look at me and seeing what America has done for me and what America can do for all of us. And I said it to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You said it to who?
And I said it to the enterprise, is that when we come in this country, we mean the immigrants, we don't just take from America, we give back. My father came in this country when the guy was 43. He bought a lot of houses, got jobs, and stuff like that. And the guy could not speak a word of English. So when you are talking to an immigrant, you got to understand where they are coming from and what they stand for. So this is who we are as people. And as you know, America was built by immigrants.
Right. It's an immigrant nation. It was formed, except for the American Indians who were here, this country was formed by immigrants. We are all somehow, you know, the seed was planted by someone in our family and carried on that tradition. My grandparents came over from Italy. I'm a third generation Italian, but again, we are all, and I think maybe that might be what's being lost in translation with some who want some kind of immigration reform. But I think there are some who are concerned because folks who have come here illegally are, you know, have committed crimes, and they're using that
and
as
those people. And you know what, Kevin? I said it. It's like anybody who comes in this country, try to kill someone and do something stupid, you gotta go.
Right.
I don't care who you are or where you come from. Like, I mean, anybody. I am not encourage people to come in this country and kill our people. No, you have to go. If your desire is to come to America to hurt people in America, then there's no place for you in this country. So my view is that it's because of those unfortunate people who come in this country trying to build a better life, trying to do something greater, and now people are talking about deporting them. I am not encourage any types of illegal immigration. You know me, Kevin. I'm a positive kid.
Yep.
What I do is that I follow the rules. That's what I said it to people. My life is in an open book. If you would like to read it, Google it, and then you will find what's going on. There was a moment in time, as you know, the Irish people were considered as bad people in Boston, Massachusetts, as you know. There was a moment, the Italian people, now it is the Haitian people, now it is the African people, now it is the Salvadorian people. So what people got to understand is that they have to take a look at history.
Right.
Because the Irish people one time were facing the same thing that those people are facing now. And as you know, there was a moment people were saying that we will not hire any Irish. So just because we come from a different land doesn't mean we don't have the same history. So what people got to understand is that this is a nation of immigrants. This is a nation of all of us. But I want people to follow the rules and apply the rules. So my paramount goal in this country is to do anything that I could possibly do to keep the American flag fly higher and go further. And like I said, I am willing and determined to die for this country because this is my country like anybody else. And my desire is to serve you. My desire is to do anything that I could possibly do to making sure that your children get a great education. The place you are living in, I'm talking about Brockton right now, the city is safe for everyone. The business people can come and invest with no fear and being able to get revenue for all of us. That's my desire, and that's where I said, if people want to talk to me, let's talk about public safety. Let's talk about education.
Right.
Let's talk about youth empowerment. Let's talk about seniors. Let's talk about what we can do together to empower ourselves instead of talking about races, instead of talking about nations, and instead of talking about language. I said it. I am a young black kid, but you know what? Most people that I'm friends with, they are not black. So I have no issue with black people or white people. I don't give a damn whether you are black or white. All I care is about whether or not you are willing to work with me. So that's my goal. My parents never taught me to take a look at a black person or to take a look at a white person. We don't talk about race at my house. We don't talk about nonsense like that. So if you are a person, we will talk to you. And if you are not a person, then we're not going to talk to you. Because my desire is to talk to all of us because we are all human beings. Let's face it, we do have differences. But despite our differences, we can live together as one people. And that is the greatness of our country. And this is what we should focus on. It's unfortunate the president of this country talked the way he's talking at this moment. But you know what? Gives me hope. It's the American people. Because the American people are great. The American people are excellent. And the American people are willing to open the door for anybody who is willing to follow the rules. That's my hope. That's what keeps me going. And that's what I'll fight for.
Counselor, I got to thank you. We've plumb run out of time, but I want to thank you very much for joining us. The one thing I would ask you, if you can give us a brief answer, how has the first month been in office as far
it's
as serving
great.
As counselor?
It's been awesome. I'm loving it. I am enjoying it. It's been wonderful. You know, it's been awesome. I'm you know, I am very grateful to everybody in Brockton who believe in me and opened the door for me.
Sir, and if folks in the city who want to reach out to you in regards to any particular issues that are going on in the city or just to say hello to you? Do you have a website, or do you have a social media way for them to get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, Kevin, you know what I do? You know what I do? I give them my cell phone number. If anybody would like to talk to me personally, you can call me at 774-297-0191. Again, 774-297-0191. Or you can go on my website, votejeanbradley.com. Or you can go on my Facebook, just Google Jean Bradley, the win on court. You see, Kevin, I give them my cell phone number. Most people think I'm crazy. You know
no,
why?
No, you're not crazy.
In order for me to talk to you, then you got to be able to talk to me on my cell phone. And if somebody calls me, I don't pick up the phone, it is because I am busy or I am doing something. If you leave me a voicemail or you send me a text, I will get back to you. But I chose to give my cell phone because I work for the people, and the people should be able to call me at any given time.
Well, I will say, Counsel, I thank you very much. We'll look forward to having you back on. And, of course, reaching out to you for, as you know, I am the Brock correspondent for the news department. So from time to time, I'll hope to hear from you if there's an issue that you are very passionate about that you're working on. But I will be a work in progress in trying to make sure that I say your last name correctly, because it doesn't roll off my court. But again, we have
got to learn some French.
I said bonjour. That's the I know about maybe six or seven words in French, but that's it.
I'll teach you some more. Don't worry,
Counselor. I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Of course, Kevin. Keep up the great work.
You got it. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options, like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. And our next guest, gentleman who was, he started something that was very, it actually went viral. I would say it kind of went viral. And it was something that he put out there on social media. And it was something that was that he tagged a couple of select people. And it caught the attention, not only of those people, but others. So what we'll do right now, before we formally introduce the gentleman, last Friday, we ran this story in regards to the Rocky versus Rocky Super Bowl bet that was made by the two mayors, the mayor of Brockton, Bill Carpenter, the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney. if you will. Ben, could you play that clip for me, please?
Media post turns into a Super Bowl bet between the mayors of Brockton and Philadelphia and features each city's Rocky statue.
When I saw it, I said, man, that's a great idea. Let's put up a bet between the two Rockies. When the Patriots win, then Rocky and Philadelphia, they'll put some New England Patriots garb on the Rocky statue in Philadelphia and take some photos of it.
That's Brockton Mayor Bill Carpenter describing the moment he saw the Twitter post that became a friendly wager with Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney. Brockton has a 20-foot statue of boxing legend Rocky Marciano, while Philadelphia has a sculpture of Rocky Balboa, who's a movie character. Keith Hayes is the brains behind that Super Bowl bet. He credits the rivalry with his son, who's an Eagles fan, as the motivation behind the message he shared on Twitter.
I started to write this thing about the Rocky versus Rocky statue, and I kind of trash-talked the Rocky Balboa statue, saying that it's a fictional character, our character is real, undisputed heavyweight champion. And then what I did was I said, you know what, I'm going to take this a step further. And I tagged the mayor of Brockton, Bill Carpenter, and then I tagged the mayor of Philadelphia, Jim Kenney.
Meanwhile, Tariq Hayes shared his opinion as to what Eagles jersey should be placed on the Marciano statue when Philadelphia pulls out a win over the Patriots.
I think he should be wearing the Nick Foles jersey just because everybody doubts him, and that's the underdog story of the year.
Super Bowl 52 featuring the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles kickoff Sunday night, 6:30.
Now, it's very interesting because you heard there two bold predictions. What was going to happen? The idea is that whoever lost would have to put some kind of team material of the winning team on their statue. Joining me on the phone line is Mr. Keith Hayes. He, of course, the brains behind that tweet that created a little bit of a stir. It was kind of a friendly wager. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on, Kevin? How's it going?
It's going pretty good. So, now, Keith, of course, you heard Keith's son, Tariq, Ty, we like to call him, who is an avid Philadelphia Eagles fan and made a bold prediction, which, in essence, came true. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, it would be pretty accurate. He pretty much chalked it up, and he pretty much gave his assessment of how that game was going to be won, and he completely was right. Strip sack, that strip sack was huge of Tom Brady.
Mm.
If he had completed that pass and got that pass off, who knows, they would have been even closer as a threat to the Eagles' red zone. So, you know, it was a big play. So,
well, he's at that age. He's, you know, he's right. What, he's 21, 22 years old, right?
21, yeah, he's 21. He can break down football just as good as me.
Yeah, but you know, he's also, you know, if he feels as though he's right, he knows how to back it up. What was it like? What was it like as the final seconds ticked off the clock, and the score reflected that Philadelphia, the Eagles, were going to have their very first world championship in three tries?
Well, once again, you know, the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, and again, in Super Bowl Patriots fashion, you get your full tilt, you know, your full 2 hours of game time. You know, you get it all. And, you know, again, we come right down to the wire. Even after the Eagles scored that touchdown to go back up, that score to go back up, you know, my son had that look on his face on that two-minute drive. Here we go. Brady's coming out. We've all seen this before. You know, and he did. They almost did it. You know, two complete passes to Gronkowski. Gronkowski gets out of bounds. Mm-hmm. I think there was one to Chris Hogan. And then there was the strip sack that pushed them back. And then, again, it's still, even after the strip sack, there's still that glimmer of hope because everybody remembers Minnesota in the 10 seconds. And you know, Brady hauls it up there. And I myself, you know, I had said before that pass went up, I said, you know, everybody's going to be on Gronkowski. You got to go to a different receiver. And he threw that up and went for Gronkowski, who had five defenders on him. And they don't make that catch, and the ball falls down the end zone. It's an incomplete pass. It's the end of the game. And it also makes you wonder what would have happened if they could have had Cooks out there on that play after that questionable hit that we're all upset about here in New England. But, again, it's a tough loss, but I feel like I came full circle in my life as a Pats fan You know me, Kevin, I've been a Pats fan when they were the AFC doormats, you know, and I couldn't even give tickets away to people when I had season tickets at one time. So to see my son, Ravel, and people like Nyla in the Patriots Eagle group, but, you know, the Ravel in this first championship game, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome to see them be able to enjoy this. And, you know, it's something that we've enjoyed here five times, you know. So, you know, it stings, but again, on the flip side of the coin, you know, I'm kind of happy for it.
Now, you kind of put this in perspective. You and I had a conversation prior to the show as you were kind enough to, you're actually waiting for a new addition to the family. So you're kind of on standby for a new Hayes to be born. and so where my WATD political analyst John Creed was under the weather, you were kind of my Nick Foles. I was like, hey, I need you to step in. Carson Wentz went down, and you were telling me, you put it in perspective that even though this is something that, you know, that the Brockton's going to have to basically the Brockton mayor Bill Carpenter and his folks are going to have to somehow pay off this friendly wager by putting some kind of garb on the 20-foot Rocky Marciano statue. You see this as a win-win. Kind of explain.
Yeah, like I said, let's make this a win-win situation. They have the Rocky Balboa statue there, and a lot of people go there. They visit the statue. They take their pictures when they're traveling. You know, and Philadelphia has a great, deep boxing background. Now, if anybody in the city council or Brockton mayor himself is even listening to this broadcast right now, you know, here's my opinion on this matter. Let's make this a win-win. We now have to dress our Rocky Marciano statue in Philadelphia Eagles garb. Now, Philadelphia also is home to quite a lot of boxers who have been famous over the years with great records, some strong, significant boxers. And I've always said that the Rocky Marciano statue doesn't get the attention that it needs for tourism for the city of Brockton. I've always said that we dropped that ball. I think we need to take the ball and run with it. Let's turn this to a win-win. A lot of people are now talking about the fact that we have to put this Eagles garb on this Marciano statue. Okay, let's make this a win-win. Let's put an invite out. Let's maybe get the mayor of Philadelphia here when we put that garb on. Let's put the invite out to Eagles fans who are just as rabid as we are, who may come out here and see that garb put on.
But wait.
Our restaurant.
But wait, are we going to have to put hydraulic oil on our utility poles and light poles so they won't climb up them?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, it was kind of disheartening to hear that in Philly. You know, act like you've been in before. I think here in Boston, we've had, like you said, we've had five Super Bowl wins. You know, we've been there before. We've done it. Let's be classy now. Let's repay this bet. And at the same time, let's make it a win-win for businesses here in Brockton. Let's put the invite out to anybody that comes here from Philadelphia on that day. You know, let them have a treat at George's Cafe, or let them go down to JJ's, or let them go to Tambu, let them go to Cristal, let them, you know, there's all these different restaurants here that they could take in and enjoy, and let our restaurants and other businesses reach out to them for that day. I say take a Saturday, and, you know, if we're going to go all out and make it a win-win for Brockton businesses all the way around.
So what, give me, again, you're somewhat of a sports prognosticator. I've had you on this program previously. I think last year you might have been on to talk about the wind. Is, of course, there's a swirl of controversy right now in regards. And I mean, we only got a couple of moments left. Again, I'm anticipating a further conversation with Jerry Thornton of Barstool Sports and Kerry J. Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com, friends of ours, yours and mine, who we've talked with many times on the radio. What's your thoughts in all this post-discussion? Because I listened to both of the Boston sports stations today, and they were beating it into the ground that if only they put Malcolm Butler in, that maybe they might have had a chance. Maybe the other 10 guys would have done their job on defense.
Yeah, Brandon Browner put out a tweet that's very disheartening regarding the New England Patriots and this incident with Malcolm Butler. Here's my thing with Malcolm Butler, and I'll make it real quick because I know you guys are really going to break it down.
Yeah.
There's two different stories going down as to why he was benched and why they didn't play him. There's three. One is that he missed the team meeting, and there's a possibility that he was caught smoking marijuana. I don't know if that's true. If it is, then Bill had every right to bench him. I don't think a full game benching.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. As of 2016, it is legal to be able to have and smoke marijuana in the state of Massachusetts. You can grow up to
yes,
six
but
plants.
Not in the NFL.
Okay.
Not as a player. And you could say that, but not as a player.
I know.
If he violated team curfew, if he violated the rules, then hey, he has to pay the price. Mm. But now we're hearing that, you know, that they didn't play him because they wanted to keep his value down and they don't want to give up a lot for him. That makes absolutely no sense. He was in on special teams for one play. Mm-hmm. If you were trying to keep a guy from getting hurt, you definitely wouldn't put him in on a special teams play. So I don't think that's the case. And then there's another story out there that he had the flu, and there was an issue where he missed the plane, and this was that. And Belichick, in his interview, said that they felt that sitting him was the best possible scenario for him. I don't understand that. I don't get it. I know Ty Law is actually demanding answers from New England Patriots organization. So it's going to get real interesting. Let's see what's going on. But, you know, already big news out of here with Matt Patricia going to Detroit Lions by Matrika. And let's see what happens.
Well, we hope the best for Matt Patricia. And that's what sucks now is now my Secretary of Defense jersey is a past tense type of an item. It's a keepsake now, but he's no longer going to be our Secretary of Defense. There's already discussions as to whether it's in-house thing. Then there's also the guy from Ohio State who they're talking about.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would that be a first, wouldn't it, if they go out to the outer ranks and grab somebody? Because for the longest time, I believe we've been grabbing our guys in-house here at Patriots Nation.
Yeah, we try to homegrown them. We try to grow them within, you know. I mean, right now what he's trying to do is we're slowly trying to push up the pile. So eventually we'll have another Belichick as head coach.
Yeah, and real quick, too, a lot of people are upset that Matt took that job with Detroit. And look, you have to remember something. Belichick comes from the Parcells coaching tree.
Yeah.
You have to move on eventually. And Parcells built his tree. Guess what? Belichick is now building his coaching tree. You'll have Matt down there in Detroit. You have a good gentleman down there in Houston Texans. Mm. You've got people out in KC that come from this Belichick coaching tree. So let's just be happy and appreciate this, you know?
Yeah, he's really spreading the seeds around. Again, you know, Tennessee Titans, you got Mike Vrabel taking over.
Yeah. Yeah,
Billy O'Brien, as you're talking about, who knows
Josh McDaniels possibly to Indiana, Indianapolis Colts.
Well, there was a little bit of a wobble in that discussion today. Supposedly, and again, nothing is confirmed. There was a report out there that that the Patriots had yet been told by Josh that he was taking a job outside of the organization. Don't know if that's something that'll be tidied up in the next couple of days, and then he ends up taking the Indy job. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Hey, man, good stuff, though. I can't wait to hear Kerry Byrne and Mr. Thornton, man. Yeah.
Mr. Thornton warming up in the bullpen at this moment. So he is here waiting for the arrival of Kerry. Last question I'll ask you as we're getting ready to head off to break in the top of the hour. As you are listening to 95.9 WATD and on the World Wide Web, 959WATD.com. So you're going to give me kind of a heads up if you find out that, in fact, they have an Eagles jersey or some kind of a banner draped over Rocky, right?
Yeah, I'll find out as soon as I've already put the word out there to the mayor. You know, I've got an idea as to something that I'd like to add into it. So once I get the word, I'll let you know, Kevin.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. I got to have as many spies out there as possible so we can at least get a glimpse of this. And steal it away from that.
Here's the problem. Our statue is huge.
I know. It isn't
so
like
to find an Eagles jersey to fit, we might have to custom order it.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for calling in and at least conceding, and congratulations to Ty and his Nostradamus-esque prediction that, in fact, Nick Foles, that Mr. Foles was going to do as well as he did.
Yeah, good stuff. Real quick, how do you feel about them already saying that, you know, that he's not the starter next season?
Stay tuned. We're going to talk about that coming up in about two minutes.
Wait, I wasn't happy about that, so I can't wait.
There he is, Keith Hayes, joining us from the City of Champions, Brockton, Massachusetts. We're going to step aside when we come back. Second hour of Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
the South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD-FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Ever see a windshield crack grow smaller? Not ever. I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Glass in Pembroke. Windshield cracks grow like a bad toothache. The reason is, you come out of your warm house into cold air. You reach for that cold door handle. Your windshield is cold. You turn on a defroster. Your windshield is hot. Windshield expands. Not much, just enough to pull that crack along. Advice, check your windshield now. Little dings, starburst, bullseyes. We'll fix them before they grow awful. Just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Follow Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We are back for the second hour of Monday Night Talk. Oddly enough, it's funny that you're playing Bon Jovi, because later on in this hour, I pulled out no expense. Actually, folks accidentally heard it when Ben was trying to play the Rocky versus Rocky story. Previously recorded, we did it a couple of weeks ago. We had the guys from Wanted DOA. They're going to be performing at the Shaw Center this coming Friday night. I will be there. I'll be in the VIP section. These guys, actually, you'll get to hear this. These great guys, Rich Figueredo, Peter Tintendo, they're part of the interview. There's three other guys, of course, you know, makes up the whole band. But be sure to hear that. But right now, we're here to kind of drown our sorrows in post-Super Bowl talk. Joining me right now, I barely got him through the break because he was sobbing so much. The one and only Jerry Thornton from Barstool Sports. Does a podcast, Laces Out.
Laces Out.
Fantastic author. He's already getting ready to start promoting a second book.
Yes.
Fantastic. We're going to have him. We'll sink the hook in his mouth to get him back in here and talk about it. It's awesome. We're kind of here to talk some somber stuff. Jerry, you know, firsthand, I'm sure you were, like the rest of us, you, whether it was the rabbit's foot or the rusty horseshoe, you know, the horseshoe, hoping that there was going to be a little bit more luck in it to pull out a victory last night.
Actually, Kevin, I'd rather talk about Bon Jovi tribute bands. Let's take a deep dive into
what
that.
What is your favorite?
You know?
What is your favorite? I like, I'm more of a Living on a Prayer.
Oh, sure, yeah. Johnny's got a 16 and Hawk is a genie, and it's Johnny. I don't know, I can never remember. I know this. When I go down to Patriots training camp every year and they crank up the music, I'm not sure who's in charge of the music, but I can tell you this. It runs the gamut from Bon Jovi to Springsteen and everything in between. The gamut from A to B. It's Jersey Rocker or Jersey Rocker is what they have.
Ben, did you want to weigh in?
Hey, as long as you're halfway there, what's it matter, right?
Wow, very
good. Very good.
Wow.
Living on a Prayer with
Wow.
That.
Comedic timing at its best.
From the rooftop.
Bravo.
Yeah, here's the thing. Nobody can accuse me of overconfidence in this game. I thought the Patriots would squeak it out, but gave full acknowledgement to that was a great Eagles team.
Mm.
Now that they've won, here's my thing. I say that the reason they won is because they're the better team. And because you know how you determine who the better team is? By who wins. All I ask is that the rest of the world would acknowledge the Patriots in the way that I have just acknowledged the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. It pains me, but they earned it. They made the plays. Their quarterback caught a pass. Our quarterback dropped a pass.
Oh, my God.
Their kicker mixed an extra point. Julian Edelman
throwing that pass.
Yeah, Amendola did not exactly lay it right on there.
He wasn't a college quarterback converted.
Right, exactly. Should have been thrown, should have been caught. I'd love to extend that to never should have been called, but the play worked exactly as designed. They just didn't execute. There were so many just weird little mistakes. Joe Cardona, who is as automatic as any athlete in professional sports is, has a bad snap. You know, the people I was with just couldn't get off of blaming Steven Gostkowski. All right, I go, look, okay, he missed the extra point. That's on him. That field goal, he hit the upright with that thing after it was, like, laying on the ground sideways. He had to stop. Please, it's a miracle. If that thing had gone through, that U.S. Bank Stadium would be an international pilgrimage site right now for the miracle that he had pulled off. So pardon me. I'm sorry. I've been by myself all day, and I've vented. I'm operating on a half an hour of, and I'm going air quotes here, sleep. It was barely sleep. It was stress dreams that were only like made worse by when I opened my eyes and faced the world. So I'm in a bad state, Kevin. I'm in a bad state. I'm glad with you. I'm glad I'm with you, man, because I need you right now because it's been a tough day.
What's your theory? What's your theory in regards to the whole Malcolm Butler situation?
I'm working on some insider info right now. You acknowledged before the break that he had the flu, right?
Well, no, Keith Hayes did.
Yeah, okay, Keith Hayes did. You, plural.
Use guys.
Flew out on Tuesday with accompanied by somebody from the team who said that he's not in a good state mentally, like not fully recovered, whether that's feverish or just, and I'm trying to get a determination of exactly what, but he was saying that he was not, to use the the vernacular, in his right mind, and that they were worried about him, that they just felt like he couldn't handle it. And so that's why he didn't take the field. That's why he didn't take the field when everything was falling apart around them, when a simple third down stop could have won them a Super Bowl, when if Philadelphia had punted twice instead of one time, they might win the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not at a point where I can say this is the case. I'm working on it right now. It's good a theory as any, because unless there's a crime scene where Malcolm Butler left a lot of shell casings and CSI is dropping those little yellow markers with the numbers on them, then keeping him out of a Super Bowl is pretty severe.
Well, he did play one snap.
Yeah, on special teams. By the way, that made a total of two special team snaps he played on the year. So he was essentially on, like, punishment duty? I don't know. Like, again, would be okay with my theory that he just wasn't able to process.
But we think about it. Think of when Wes Welker made the foot jokes.
Right.
And was punished for part of what he didn't
for
play.
For a series.
For a series, right? How bad is it? But it's also been said that Bill Belichick was asked if he was being punished for something, or if this was... Was there some infraction? He said no.
Malcolm's a very competitive guy. You know, he's works hard. A lot of respect for Malcolm.
Yeah. There was a longer conversation. At the end of the day, it was a decision not to play him.
Yeah, more goes into the decision than that, but I'll just stand on what I said. yeah, this is the part of being a Patriots fan that is the most difficult. It's times like this. It's not the weather. It's not the traffic. It's not ticket prices. It's not all those bloody primetime games that nobody wants. It's not great players being let go in the middle of their careers. It's not the coaches leaving. It's that when you're dying for information, you're asked to be patient that it's not coming. And I wrote this today, Kevin, that being a Patriots fan, it requires a kind of patience like if an Amish person married a Zen Buddhist and they had a baby, and that baby married a Jedi Knight, and you were that child of that marriage, that's how much patience you're required to have, and I'm just not capable of it. Eventually, I have to say, well, that's what it's like being a believer in the Belichickian philosophy. You have to trust that he knows exactly what's going on, and he has the answers, even at a time like this.
Ben, do you need to get your geek on for a second here?
Just for a second. So did you just give away the next, like, four Star Wars movies with that whole thing?
Yeah, exactly. Ray ends up marrying a guy who's Pennsylvania Dutch, and she uses the force to churn butter and raise barns.
And somehow there's lightsabers in there. I love it. Sell it, market it, package it. Done.
Yes.
By the way, I just saw the other day on Facebook someone selling rear windshield wipers that light up like a lightsaber. I don't have a rear windshield wiper. I'm going to have one installed just so I can get this thing. Han Solo?
Customizable colors is a must.
You down with the Han Solo?
Down with the
project?
Solo.
Yeah. I've had some people complaining that they don't really like the guy. They don't think it's great casting with the guy who plays Han. I go, we'll see. I love Donald Glover as young Lando. I'm not really sold on Chewbacca, though. I think they could have found a different Wookiee to play that part.
Really? You think?
Yeah. I saw that guy. I'm going, that's not young. That's not young Chewie. That's not the way he's meant to.
Interesting. And you know who's directing this movie?
Is it Ron Howard?
There we go.
They had two brothers did it, and they did not like the vision. Now, I'm a Ron Howard fan.
Okay. I know what you're going to say, I think.
What? His best movie?
Where will Clint Howard show up in this movie?
Oh, great point. Yeah, he's going to be Yoda. Their makeup budget is limited, so just going to...
Limited budget you have, yes.
Just like him. Look, one of my all-time favorite movies, criminally underrated, directed by him with Clint Howard in it, Apollo 13.
Oh, yeah.
Look, where I'm sitting here from this desk, this is the only answer. Oh, he's so good.
He's really good.
And he takes crap, and people say that A Beautiful Mind is one of the worst movies ever to win an Oscar. I don't know. I liked it, and he knows how to take entertainment and package it so that even I can appreciate
it. Having to work with Russell Crowe, come on.
Yeah, exactly. And he's done a lot of great stuff, but, I mean, Frost Nixon was good for what it, if you're into that sort of thing. My movies tend to have helicopters. Every action movie has a helicopter. Laser beams, right? Or swords. Those are my three things for me to want to watch a movie.
All right. So before we jump back into we're talking with the great Jerry Thornton,
anything other than
Barstool Sports author. Oddly enough, during our the fun part of watching the Super Bowl, or at least it used to be, is the commercials, and they showed a trailer for a movie. It's kind of a ripoff, it seems, of two movies that I can think of, starring The Rock with a prosthetic leg, Skyscraper.
Yeah, yeah. My theory is that The Rock is the most popular man on Earth right now.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that ironically. Think about it. Who else is? There's always got to be somebody, and I think he has that international appeal. There's no one that doesn't like him. He takes a movie like Jumanji and makes people go, I want to see Jumanji. It's got The Rock in it or whatever. But that one where he's jumping off the crane, and he's got to cover the distance of basically four football fields to get to the building, like... Can you just cut to the part where he gets splattered on the ground? Like, what the name of...
No, but what is it? It's Die Hard meets... is it Tower Terror? What was the one back in the 70s?
Oh, the Towering Inferno?
Towering Inferno! Yes, where they cut loose the water tower on the roof 75 stories up, and
great.
It puts the fire...
That's a great take. I was too much in a catatonic state to have picked up on the details of it. Can I say this briefly about Super Bowl commercials? They are a dead institution. Mm. Like, the only interesting ones are movie trailers, which, by the way, those drop every Tuesday on IMDb. I just as soon see them. What they used to be in the America that I grew up in, the way that they got people during a commercial break to pay attention was sex. Sex sells. They had Cindy Crawford in a tank top buying a soda out of the machine. They had the GoDaddy.com girl. They had the Taste Great Less Filling debate being settled by two women at a water fountain. That got me my attention. I don't care about the goofy celebrity cameos. I don't care about the guy who's a doofus, so he does something really dumb because he'd rather have the beer than the girl, and I'm done with the cute animals. Like, the dog falls in love with the horse and they become friends. Like, no, bring me back cleavage. All right? I'm a football fan. Stop trying to market this
stuff. Listen, it got old after Terry Tate, the office linebacker, It just went flat from there. Those were brilliant commercials.
Yep, and then everyone had to try to get that same punchline in. Yep. And there's a thing where I'm a middle-aged white man, so I feel like I don't sit in my car enough at a drive-thru and talk about fast food. That's what football commercials tell me. That's what men do. Like, white men who are middle-aged are really dumb, and we're fascinated with long conversations about junk food that we order through a takeout window. I've never done it in my life.
Ben?
I mean, the commercials have definitely gone downhill over the years. I have to agree with you all day on that.
You're going to tell us you like the Tide ones, though, right?
Oh, Tide Pods are delicious. Oh, that's not what we're talking about, is it?
Don't eat Tide Pods, kids. No.
Kids, please do not eat Tide Pods.
Do not eat those. Please.
I'm pretty sure it says on multiple occasions across the package, do not eat. Highly toxic. You will die. Don't do this.
Like, I was never tempted. It's like when you buy a pair of shoes and it's got that little pack of silica gel and it says, do not eat. Like, who is this intended for? Is this someone, hey, this came out of a shoe. This looks good.
Kind of like
You
buy a new mattress and it's got that tag. It says, don't take it off. Don't do it. But, you know, who's checking? Who's checking?
That's right.
Remember
the guy from prison on Pee-wee's Big Adventure? I took a knife. Yeah. You know that tag on the mattress? Yeah, I cut it off. Wow.
You know, rebellion, there's no limit. There's no limit. Getting back to talking Patriots. There's two things that I think of. And the first thing that worried me was Saturday night when the news broke that Tom Brady was the NFL's MVP. And I says, crap, it's 2007 again. You know why? Because the last time Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl was when he was named the MVP was 2007. Right. He wasn't in 2011.
Right.
Nobody has won a Super Bowl who has been deemed a MVP by the league since Kurt Warner in 1999.
Yeah, exactly. And when that news broke, I wrote a blog about it that I said, you know, Tom Brady wins the MVP. Yawn. Like, don't care. Yep. Not interested in that one. They could just as soon have given it to Todd Gurley.
Could have.
I like the idea of Brady having very few regular season MVPs and a metric butt ton of Super Bowl MVPs. And the list of guys who were the regular season MVP that he himself has knocked out of the playoffs is long and distinguished. Not least of which is Marshall Faulk, Peyton Manning a bunch of times, Steve McNair one time. He's done this repeatedly. Would have been nice to give it to Nick Foles. I don't care if he played four games. I just want Brady to have beaten him. But you know what? That defense has a lot to answer for. Matt Patricia has a lot to answer for. They never made an adjustment. They never figured it out. They didn't mix up what they were doing. They tackled like...
And that's
like
a hallmark.
They tackled second like half. The guy at the post office when you show up to get your registered mail and he like goes out back. Like that level of enthusiasm when he goes back and looks for the brown packages out back. And I don't get it for a team that tackles really well. You know who really tackles well on that team?
Who?
Malcolm Butler. No, jeez. Yeah,
if only, but he's one of 11 on that defense. Do you think that if Malcolm was out there, that he would have made that much of a difference?
It would have required a stop, a coverage. You know, listen, Eric Rowe is a decent little slot receiver. Johnson Batamosti is a full-time special teamer. You got a guy who played 97% of your snaps playing 0% of your snaps. That's the difference when all you needed was a stop to see the punt team come out again. Again, maybe he just physically was unable to go, but it is a tough thing to have to comprehend that they just had to make that decision or chose to make it. And I'm Belichick till I die. Without him, we're not having any of these conversations the last 18 years, but this is just one of those times that tries men's souls.
When you look at, there's a little more than 2 minutes left in the game, Patriots getting the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying to yourself? Are you saying to yourself, zit, they're going to win?
The odds are long, but But there's nobody in the world more who's ever been born more capable of pulling it off than the man who has this. Now, I'm not here to blow my own horn, but allow me to blow my own horn. I said on my podcast, Lakers Out, the other day on Friday, I told A.J. Hawk, here's a concern I have, that they have the ability to move defensive ends into the middle. Meaning Brandon Graham will go slide inside and play alongside Fletcher Cox. And then you've got two defensive ends and they're being blocked by guards and centers. Well, the deciding play of the game was Brandon Graham being moved in and playing opposite Shaq Mason, who's the best offensive lineman they have. Sure. But that's a mismatch all day long. And, excuse me, that cost us the game.
It's, well, I mean, they still had 60, 65 seconds after the field goal to at least try to drive and at least tie the score. But it was, you know, it was like they already shook all the magic out of that bottle. You look at, it's ironic that last year, one of the plays that changed that game was Dante Hightower coming in and getting a strip sack, you know, of Matty Ice.
Yeah, and that's Matty Ryan. And that was a block missed by Devonta Freeman. Excuse me. Very emotional right now. But it's a thin raisin, a razor-thin margin of error when this team gets into these big games. And we've seen it time and again, and there's only so often you can ask Brady to pull a game out. Now, that game, that first Super Bowl against Philadelphia, being the lone exception to the other seven times he's been in a Super Bowl, he threw a go-ahead touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter or overtime. Or I should say led a touchdown drive because James White was a pitch. But that's a phenomenal record. It's also a mountain of things to ask of your quarterback when he's getting no help from his defense. And I talked to Kerry Byrne today about their defense and what has been asked of Brady, getting no help from the other side of the ball. And his points are great. It has been as close to a one-man football team as you can have in the sport.
It's interesting to say that. And again, we're still, hopefully, before the segment is up in the next 15 minutes, we'll hear from Kerry. One of the things that he had posted was that maybe Bill is not a genius. Maybe Bill has needed the likes of a Tom Brady, because prior to being teamed up with Tom, he did not have a winning record.
Right. And, well, I mean, you're talking about him going to the Cleveland Browns, putting together a wagon, and I corrected Kerry on this today, a great coaching staff. Vinny Testaverde is his quarterback, beats Bill Parcells' Patriots in the playoffs, is well-positioned to make a long run with that team, and Art Modell, excuse me, sells the team out from under everybody, and it collapses into chaos, completely beyond Belichick's control. So I don't buy into that narrative. And who helped make Tom Brady? I mean, if the Patriots had drafted Todd Husak instead, and Tom Brady goes to, I don't know, name a team, Tampa, Atlanta, does he turn into Tom Brady?
We don't know.
I think not. And I'm not saying that you win five Super Bowls with Todd Husak either, but I think the Patriots system has churned out quarterbacks and could have developed somebody. And all the other things, managing the salary cap, managing personnel, developing coaches, having continuity, all those things that he has brought, it's just a tough day to make this argument, you know what I mean? Because that defense was as bad in a big situation as I've ever seen in any sport. And I mean, this was like NBA All-Star game. This is like you almost didn't even put 11 guys out on the field and you would have gotten similar results from Nick Foles. And you know, I'm not disparaging Nick Foles, but I mean, what he was doing wasn't the little slants like you expect in that run-pass option, and it wasn't plays where it breaks down and they're outside the structure, second reaction type plays where he's rolling the pocket or whatever. Those were designed balls where guys were open deep and in the intermediate routes, and that was tough to watch, man. That was, imagine if a great quarterback had been on the other side of the ball. You know, imagine if you had 2013 Peyton Manning. It would have been brutal. They would have scored 70.
It was that bad. both defenses were that bad. I mean, we were expecting, you know, Philadelphia to be, you know, that front four that had, you know, they weren't going to get tired like Atlanta did.
Right, they go seven deep.
They were deep in that regard. And you mentioned Nick Foles. What becomes of Nick Foles? Does he go back to being the backup for Carson Wentz next year, or does he, or is it a commodity that Philadelphia goes, hey, what team out there, and do what the Patriots probably should have done in the offseason if they were going to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo?
In a league where there are mediocre and sub-mediocre quarterbacks all over the place, Nick Foles deserves to play, whether it's with Philadelphia or elsewhere. I just think, you know, you can't afford to keep a backup in spite of how they won a Super Bowl because of him. To have two quarterbacks like that is it's not advantageous when you can flip him for value. People will come to you. They will give you a lot, even if it's a second rounder like the Pats got for Jimmy G. I mean, they got a second rounder for him. Oh, God, help us.
Well, it looks
good. About to cash in, by the way. And you're also telling Nick Foles, you know what? You can't go make $23 million elsewhere because you're our backup. And that was my argument with Jimmy G all along. You can't ask him to play for less than what Kirk Cousins has been making. It's insane. You're going to just have a guy who doesn't want to be there.
And it's so funny you say that. We look at what's going on with the Patriots, and there's some, if you look at social media, some Patriots fans are like, oh my God, the Patriots are a mess. They're falling apart. Washington, who traded for Alex Smith, I don't know if this is confirmed or not. I haven't looked on any of the websites, but supposedly they're considering putting a tag on Kirk Cousins. They're considering trying to keep Cousins with the tag, and also have Alex Smith. How do you do that?
That's how 3-13 teams are built. Because you're going to be paying $23 million to a guy to not play. The case always made about the people who said, keep Jimmy Garoppolo. And I said, if you're not making him your quarterback in 2018, tell me by which mechanism you keep him. And they'd say, oh, they can figure out a way. No, that's lazy. Tell me the way. How do you pay him? And tell him, by the way, you want to play here for the maximum, but you don't get to ever touch the football? Okay. Or you can go out to San Francisco and try to see what you're made of and make that kind of money. It's crazy to think otherwise. I think that's just window dressing. Kirk Cousins is going to go hit the open market. They're going to try to make something out of Alex Smith, and that's why they made the deal, because they can't settle on a deal with Cousins.
Well, and there was a deal.
Gambled on himself, by the way. Taking those franchise tenders and refusing to sign a deal, and good for him.
Smith was extended before he was traded off, I believe.
Yeah. He's got a long-term deal.
My goodness. Sure, so it's like, why would you want to keep us? Patriots, what do they do? We just got a couple of moments left here. We're talking with the great Jerry Thornton, Barstool Sports author. What do the Patriots need to do in the offseason?
They need help on the front seven. Their front seven on defense looked loaded this year, and it evaporated from the time they got to training camp to the time the season kicked off. And you know, they need help along the defensive end. You can always use linebackers and tackles, but you're also going to have to replace Malcolm Butler because he's not coming back.
Right.
And I don't think Eric Rowe is your answer. So there's your priorities. I think offensively they'll always figure it out, but front seven and a quarterback to play opposite Gilmore, who had a great season in spite of what people, you know, believe from their first impression.
Listening to the sports talkers in town, there was predictions all day that there's something, a shoe is going to drop. I know we heard rumblings last night that Gronkowski is kind of pondering the meaning of life and whether he should, you know, step away from a violent sport like this and not be injured.
He just backed away from committing it like 5 minutes after a horrible loss. And he's like, tell us about your future. Like, I don't know, I'm going to go home and think about it. And like, oh, he's considering retirement. No, he's not considering retirement.
But it's almost as though our media is trying to push either Tom Brady out the door or Bill Belichick out the door, and see what ends up happening with this franchise.
There's a lot of smoke there, I'll give you that. I watched a lot of the pregame, didn't listen to a second of sports talk radio today. And Yeah, maybe there's something there. If, let's say, Josh McDaniels turns down the Indy job, and we're not clear if he's doing that or not, after having turned down San Fran last year, you say, what's the game plan there? Is there an end game? And the fact that Belichick and Kraft and Brady are allegedly, and this is coming from Ian Rappaport, who I take as gold, that they're talking about having a meeting. That sounds to me like your parents having a discussion. Like, it's never good. It's never good. Mom and dad never have a discussion that's going well, and they've admitted to tension. And I still can't get it out of my head when Andrea Kramer asked Mr. Kraft and Jonathan about his, will Bill Belichick be back? And he gave some cryptic answer, like, you're going to have to find out like everyone else. Like, well, why don't you just say, of course? Like, what? What's going on? So in my deepest, darkest fears, I think possibly there's something there. Who knows? But
I'm going to say this because I usually get press releases from the Patriots. I've done stuff. I get from time to time, I'll get the calling codes in order to be able to do interviews with the coaches from either the Patriots or from the other team, or if they've named a new Patriot to be into the Patriots Hall of Fame or something.
You're pulling rank on me now, Tachi. I'm jealous.
You got to say, stop it. You got to say, if not better.
No.
If not better. But I get them. And recently, there was a press release put out via the folks over there in Foxborough saying that they extended their contracts of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, multi-year contracts, for the radio appearances on WEEI. Why would you put out a press release like that if either one of these guys are going somewhere?
Well, WEEI had a contract to do radio interviews with John Farrell. Now they're going to have them with Julio Lugo. That's how that works. If Bill Belichick's hit by lightning in the middle of the season next year, they're talking to his replacement or whatever. So
sure.
I don't know. And I know that this is a long shot, but just I've dismissed a lot of the stuff that's been wholly made up out of, whole cloth with tons of, erroneous stories. There's part of me that's saying there's so much smoke here. Could there be a fire at the base of all this? I don't know, Kevin. But my gut tells me next year we're going to training camp and everyone's going to forget that all this talk about Belichick leaving and Brady retiring was all just a bunch of nonsense. People just move on and accept that this dynasty rolls on as it's been constituted.
Any worries? I know that Vegas has already installed the Patriots as favorites to win Super Bowl 53, oddly enough, moments after Philadelphia beats them. How is that possible, knowing that we have question marks at DC and OC, defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator?
Show me the team in the AFC right now that you look at and say, oh, yeah. They're on the come. I'm worried about that team.
Is Mike Tomlin, he scares me.
Right, exactly. When Le'Veon Bell is talking about his contract in the middle of the playoffs, they're looking past teams. Like, that culture is damaged. Jacksonville is what Jacksonville is. Tennessee is a slightly above average team. I just don't see that team that constitutes a threat. So if nothing else, right now sitting here, I can all but assure you the Patriots go to the conference championship game next year. You can't say that about any other team in the NFL, sure. So that's a huge leg up, unless all of a sudden the Jets figure it out.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. I feel
if
like...
If only.
Yeah, like North Korea will be a threat before the Jets are, you know what I mean? And the league, the conference is filled with mediocre teams, and the Patriots will find a way just like they did when they lost Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss. You know?
Speaking of which, wouldn't it be interesting to see Charlie Weiss be back on the sidelines?
In a power scooter, have you seen the man?
I have.
Yeah,
I watched the post game coverage.
Love the guy, and
your buddy Bert Breer. They were doing the pre Super Bowl chat yesterday, and Charlie basically was like, Bert was trying to stir the pot, and he goes, "Listen, that's your conjecture," and Bert was like,
He has to be helped in and out of a chair. He's not coaching. Yeah. Greg Schiano maybe, but not Charlie, not Romeo.
Jerry, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Talking a little Patriots talk. Check him out, Jerry Thornton, Barstool Sports, Laces Out, one of America's favorite podcasts. We're going to step aside. When we come back, as I promised you, we're going to rebroadcast that segment we did with Wanted DOA. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Dad, you know I'm willing to drive.
Honey, we're all set here.
But your eyes, you even say so yourself, don't like driving at night.
Well, that's why I'm following the plow.
But that's a sander, Dad. You know what they say.
It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
Oh!
Too late.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to the final segment of Monday Night Talk, as, of course, this is our Shaw's Conference Center block and closing out the program. We have two gentlemen from Wanted, DOA. This is a Bon Jovi tribute band, and we have Rich Figueredo. Did I say that right, Rich?
You sure did, Figueredo.
And Peter, it's going to be a little bit different for you. Peter Nintendo?
You got it, dude. Wow. Nailed it. I get Nintendo all the time, so it's like, that's...
I almost deviated to Nintendo.
That's okay.
So
I get that.
I'm just going to go with Peter and Pete. We'll just stick with that.
It's all good, man.
I don't want to mess up on perfect. I got it once. And these gentlemen are kind of here to talk a little about a fantastic show that they're going to be a part of coming up on Friday, February 9th. Doors open, I would believe it's 7. Mm-hmm. Show will get underway about 7:30?
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
And it's going to be back-to-back bands, Wanted, DOA, and The Great Escape. They're a Journey tribute band.
Yeah, great band.
Yes.
Brockton, Massachusetts, One Feinberg Way, over by the Brockton High School.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss it. You want to be there. You want to be somewhere in the building that night. Gentlemen, if you will, we'll start with Rich. Introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, guys. How are you? It's Rich Figueredo from Essex. Drove a little ways to do this interview, but it's well worth it. Yeah, we decided to put this band together in 2015. Before that, I was just doing random bands, writing a lot of music, playing in different bands, doing some acoustic stuff as well. And had enough of the bar scene. It was time to step it up and do some theaters and casinos and blah, 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 festivals. So here we are today. Here we
blah,
are
blah,
today.
Festivals. All right. Peter.
Hi, how you doing? My name is Peter Tintendo. I live up in Topsfield, Massachusetts, North Shore area representative, along with Rich here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I met these guys about a year and a half ago, and, you know, they were going looking for a new guitar player, and you know, I grew up on a lot of the 80s music, and I love all of that stuff, and it was Bon Jovi, so I was like, you know, you think of the hits, you think of Living on a Prayer, mm. Wanted Dead or Alive, you know, all that stuff, and you know, got in with these guys, and all awesome dudes, and it just clicked, like our chemistry just clicked, and we just...
Yeah, it works really
off
well.
Off we go. And yeah, it was like off we go, harmonies and all that stuff. Everything.
Camaraderie.
Just,
great,
yeah.
Camaraderie.
Connect the dots. I mean, where did the concept come from to say, hey, let's be part of a tribute band and do it right?
Mm-hmm. Well, a friend of mine was talking to me for quite a while about, he knew I was frustrated with the bar scene and I wasn't happy. And you know, you play the bars, you get a lot of TVs going and pool tables, and not everybody's going to be paying attention to you. So he had suggested doing a Bon Jovi tribute band and just playing, you know, theaters and casinos, etc. And I pushed it off and pushed it off for a long time, and then one day I just said, you know what, I'm ready. I'm just going to do it. I got to get a good group of guys together, some characters, and I don't want to do it in an in a way where I'm wearing a wig and I'm doing all this kind of stuff, and I want it to be truly authentic. So if Bon Jovi himself hears a band, he would get it. He would really get it, you know?
So it's the authenticity. It's not like...
Impersonations.
Exactly. Yeah.
But what is it like? I mean, there are so many different bands out there that want to do the tribute band thing and do it to their certain way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Reading some of the things I said this to you when you walked in during the break... was the one thing that impressed me was you want to give the authentic experience, and it's not necessarily about you guys thumping your chest, but a matter of what you guys can do as a collective. Someone speak to that.
For us, it's more of a, like, we try to analyze every nook and crevice of the songs that, you know, with the big hits for Bon Jovi,
sure.
And we capture them live. And that's, you know... There's no tracks. There's no, like, you know, some bands will use tracks. Some bands will use other things. And we're all, it's just us. It's our vocals. It's our, we're as straight to a live band as it comes.
Yeah.
And that's so important in the delivery of the music. Because, you know, it's like, you don't want to get caught up in the, you know, programming this. And, oh, we're all the musicians are in this band are top notch. And we're always trying to up our game with the songs and presenting them to the audience.
Yeah, and there's a lot of behind the scenes. What people see at the show is obviously the final product, but behind the scenes, a lot of hours meticulously going right. over every little part, vocals especially, and just working everybody's voice every week, and just dialing it into the point where people see the show, it's true, it's real.
They close their eyes, and it's almost as though they're at the mm-hmm. show.
Absolutely.
There's no fudging it, so to speak.
No, that's you right. can't really. And there's a lot of other great tribute bands out there.
Sure.
I think it all just comes down to really how hard you work.
Exactly.
To get it to sound great together. And I put together a really great group of musicians, so they make it easy to push the band and to deliver the sound that we have.
How important is that? Because, I mean, while I have nowhere near the talent you gentlemen do, I've, you know, rented studio rooms and tinkered around with drums and bass and pretended to sing. And, you know, and seeing other bands and interacting and being friends with bands, it can be that tumultuous mix
mm-hmm.
where, you know what I mean? While they got a dynamite sound, there's friction within.
Yeah,
it's a family. It's like a family
yeah,
atmosphere at the same time
yeah.
being in a band.
Yeah,
yeah. But when Joey punches Bobby and Bobby's no longer in the band, then what? You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things.
Everybody's happy Bobby's gone.
Yeah,
there's no hitting.
Well, if I could, if I was to take a peek sure. into your iPhone and your iPad, what do you listen to? What's the music that you like? What's the genres that either you came up with? Bon Jovi is obviously one
of
them.
Yeah.
But what would some of the other bands or some of the other music that you like?
I grew up, when I was really young, I was listening to it when Def Leppard, the song Photograph,
yes.
and Pyromania.
Wait, 9 arms or 10?
What's that?
9 arms or 10?
Oh,
back then it was 10.
Okay.
That's right.
But you had Joe Elliott's voice in the band, and
sure.
that was huge. And then, you know, as I got older, I was experiencing more musicianship and stuff. Obviously, I got more into some of the local stuff, like Boston, the band Boston themselves,
sure.
Journey, a lot of the 70s. I always tend to go back to like the 70s stuff myself. But the 80s stuff, when Bon Jovi came on, I just got it. It clicked. I got it, you know.
And for me, it was a little. I kind of came in. I'm a little younger, so I came in on it.
He's calling me old.
No, I'm not calling you old. I came in like when I was coming up. A lot of the music that I liked came from the same period, the exact same period. I grew up on the Beatles first. Like
mm-hmm.
my father is a big influence on a lot
sure.
of the 60s music. Beatles, Beach Boys, Harmonies, that kind of stuff. And then later, I got into kind of the hard rock edge of it, like Kiss, bands like Kiss. I loved the show and the visuals and
makeup.
And the makeup. Yeah, I'm going to put that on later. So, and then later, it was funny, Def Leppard, when he said Def Leppard, my first experience with Def Leppard, I saw it in like a VH1, like they were showing all these videos. And
sure.
I was like, who is this band? I thought they were new. I was like, because I was young and just like, who is this? I want to learn more about these guys. And all that music. All that stuff is where I came at it from, too. Bon Jovi falls into that same category with that stuff. So.
And it's funny because when I had this band, when I started it, I took all these guys and I said, I want you to think back when you were younger to that passion you had when you first listened to the rock and roll and the music, when you're standing in front of the mirror with your air guitar jamming out, bring that on stage.
Absolutely.
Because people will eat that up.
Yeah.
You know?
And you basically live it.
Well, yeah. You live it on stage and you live it in what you do, and you love what you do, and that's the whole thing. And people can see that.
People
if you
get
don't,
it.
If you don't love what you do, it shows. People can see it and read it on your face, and you're not into it like you should be. Or you know, we're always into it. We're looking at a mirror when we practice. Sometimes it's kind of in front of us at our practice space, and we're looking at. You know, are people moving around? We're practicing everything.
Every detail,
because we want to put on a show on top of everything else.
And of course, when you're as part of the show, I'm sure, Rich, when you're up there in the front, you're probably watching the audience and seeing how they're. And it's one of those things that you kind of do a post production. Maybe you guys get together going, maybe we need to change up our set list for the next
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely, every yep. time, yep. every rehearsal we go through this. Yeah, we literally put together a concert like the pros do. It's not just show up. What do we want to play? It's all worked out, energy wise. So the people feel a concert.
You get 40. I counted 40 songs. I don't know how up to date the website is. www.wanteddoa.com. But you've got from Bon Jovi's Inception, Runaway, to the latest hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
What seems to be some of the more popular ones? You have people screaming out from the audience saying, you know, what are some of the more popular ones that folks love hearing you play?
Obviously, you get the obvious Prayer, Living on a Prayer.
Yep.
One we get a lot, too, is Bad Medicine.
Bad Medicine.
That's huge.
Classic tune.
Yeah, huge. Gets people going, too. But we do some of the deeper cuts, too, like In and Out of Love. A lot of people like to hear that.
Homebound Train. We can go deep,
Train.
Really deep in,
yeah.
in that same thing. But, you know, a lot of the newer stuff.
She Don't Know Me.
Yeah, She Don't
Another
Know Me.
Another one. Yeah.
Classic. Impressive. One of my favorites.
Very impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And,
well, now you guys have promised that you're going to do a song, and we're going to close with a song, too, which is awesome. It's great for me because I get to kind of sit and kind of watch you as you guys craft your product here. And again, get the hook into the mouths of the folks. If you haven't got tickets yet, you still have time to get tickets for the February 9th show. We'll talk a little bit more about that. What do you want to perform?
I think we're going to do Who Says You Can't Go Home.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's one of the newer ones that they request a lot, too,
yeah.
at the show.
And it's got like a country tip to it.
It does.
A little country flair.
A little country flair to it. Yeah. Crossover.
Yeah. We won't go too country on you.
No,
we're
going to
keep it rock.
No twang here.
No twang. On this side.
All right. A little Wanted DOA.
Spent 20 years trying to get out this place. I was looking for something I couldn't replace. Every run of now, all the thing I ever longed. Like a blind dog without a bone, I was a gypsy lost in the twilight zone. I tend to ramble and crash into a pot of gold. Seeds I've sown, saving dimes, spending too much time on the telephone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go home? There's only one place to come and one of their own. Just a hometown boy, born a rolling stone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go back? Around the world, and that's a matter of fact. There's only one place left I wanna go. Who says I can't go? It's alright, 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 it's alright. I went as far as I could, trying to find a new face. Is it one of these lies? I would arrest, put a million miles of memories on that road. Stay.
song. To my sweet, the only love I've ever known. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go home? There's only one place to come, and one of their own. Just a hometown boy, born a rolling stone. Who says you can't go home? Who says you can't go back? Been all around the world, and that's a matter of fact. Only one place left I wanna go. Says I can't go home. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Says I can't go home. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Says I can't go away, just a mile the road. Take it in, take it with you when you go. Who says you can't go home? Road says you can't go home. There's only one place to come, but one of their own. Just a hometown boy on a rolling stone. Who says you can't go home? Road says you can't go back. Left, I wanna go. Who says it can't go? It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. It's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright. Who says it can't go? It's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright. Who says it can't go? It's alright,
it's alright.
It's alright,
it's alright,
it's alright.
Little Wanted D.O.A.
Yeah.
Rich Figueredo, Pete Tintindo.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. I can go home now.
He's done. He's done.
I'm done. That was fantastic, guys.
Thank you so much.
And folks, if you're listening at home, you might want to get yourself tickets for this fantastic show. Guys, I don't know how much you know about The Great Escape. Have you ever met these gentlemen, or have you got any intel on the band that you're going to be on stage with or sharing the stage with?
So these guys are top-notch musicians, top-notch players, great. They've been around for a little while now, and I got to tell you, when I reached out to them to do the show, they were excited to do it, which is really exciting to hear because I've been wanting to play with them for a long time. I just needed a good excuse to get them involved. So I'm really excited to have these guys on board. Really am. Great band.
As far as, now, can they get tickets at the box office? Is this something that they're doing through your website? Do you know the manner as to how they're going to be able to get tickets?
Yeah, so you want to go to our website, wanteddoa.com, and up there we've got a link that goes over to the Shaw Center where you can get the tickets.
Easy enough, just like that.
Simple.
How about as far as other than your website, social media, you guys, Instagram guys, Facebook?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, Wanted DOA Tribute. We also have Facebook, Wanted DOA Tribute. Please go up there and like us. We want to be liked.
Now, this is the one thing that I have to ask,
sure.
And that is, have you ever had a chance to meet with any of the members of Bon Jovi, ever?
I have not, no. I not yet.
I can't say that I have either.
But my end goal is to meet John and have him see the show. And just, you know, hopefully, I just want him to, you know, hopefully he'll think we're doing it a good job.
Complete the circle.
That's all.
Complete the circle, which is a key. I think you want to kind of get that. If you're emulating somebody, you want to kind of get the
approval.
The seal of approval.
The thumbs up.
Man. wow, well, you did that better than I did. Well,
I don't know if he would say that,
but it would be cool if he did say that.
Right, so to speak. Right.
And I got to say thank you. You brought me in some swag, brought me in a shirt.
Yeah, want to DOA. We've got shirts at the shows, too.
Yep.
So you'll have merch there?
Yes. We have merch. We've got these really nice winter hats that are keeping you nice and
warm. Keep you nice and warm during this cold winter we're having.
How about as far as any recordings? Do you record anything, or is that a tricky slope?
It's very tricky. So we don't actually, the only thing we record, we do videos on our shows, and we try to post them on Facebook and any of our social media on Instagram. Again, it's Want to DOA Tribute. Okay. But you can go to our website. We've got videos up there as well as YouTube.
Do you use Vimeo or do you use YouTube?
We use YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Everybody is different. So what are we going to close the show? Actually, before we go, anything I haven't asked you, but you feel you want to make sure you get out there to the listeners, to the fans. I mean, came all the way down from the North Shore. Really appreciative, guys.
Yeah. Oh, no, thank you for having
thanks
us.
For the opportunity. Absolutely. We just really want to get all the South Shore fans into the Shaw Center. You know, we really do. We want to really pack this place and put on a great show.
It's a great venue. And
I got to
say this, and of course, you know, you can't see it because it's radio. It's in a visual medium. But I got staff members who have been walking by as these two gentlemen are performing with the thumbs up going, yeah, well, hey.
We're making too much noise in here, Richie.
You guys out there walking by, I hope you're going to be buying tickets, too.
That's right.
We'll see you at the show.
Got to be at the show somewhere. All right, so what are we closing the show out with, guys?
So we thought we'd do, the name of the band's Wanted DOA, so we thought we'd close it off with Wanted Dead or Alive.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the show on the 9th.
Thank you so much,
thank you
buddy.
For having us.
It.
Here they are, Wanted DOA.
Dead or alive, wanted, dead or alive.